Well, it's Sunday, July 28th, and for the past few weeks we've been considering our position in Christ. And today we're going to look at a passage that reveals our entrance into this new position. It's John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If you have your Bible handy, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. We'll begin studying in verse 1. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message, the song. We are saved by grace forever, and that we will appreciate for all eternity. And now, as we have opportunity to look into your word, we thank you that we do not create truth, but the truth is here for us. And so eagerly we look forward to studying this passage and pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and that Christ will be exalted, the Lord God will be glorified, and we will be edified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Then John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now just a word about this man. He is of the Pharisees. Now we know about them and their attitudes and their religious hypocrisy, and Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees. It also says he is a ruler of the Jews. So this is a man with significant authority and a recognized leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus. He is mentioned also at the death of Christ when Joseph of Arimathea goes to get the body to bury it. Nicodemus is with him, indicating that God made him a believer. So there's Nicodemus. Verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel what I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Now, I think our approach to this passage will be just to go through the conversation here between Nicodemus and Jesus. First of all, then, with Nicodemus, his approach. He came to Jesus by night. Now, a lot of speculation is concerned, has been considered about this. One of the speculations is that he was afraid that he would have been criticized by the Pharisees and by the rest of the Jews for even coming to Jesus. We really don't know the answer to that. It might have been his schedule and that this was simply a convenient time. At any rate, he came. And then we read his statement. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, here is an acknowledgement. There's something going on in Nicodemus that makes him curious or makes him want to talk directly to Jesus because he realizes this is something special. This is not just ordinary. Here is a direct acknowledgement. We know you come from God, and no one could do these things unless he is from God. So Nicodemus has something going there that has stirred his soul and spirit and made him at least curious. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly," or "truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, it almost seems as if Jesus is changing the subject. But what he is doing, he is reading into this statement of Nicodemus. And in a sense, Nicodemus is saying, how can one have eternal life? How can one be made righteous? How can one be made right with God? And so Jesus gives him a very direct answer to that question. You must be born again. You must be born from above is a better translation. Because if you are not, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this word cannot refers to ability. One who is not born from God cannot, is not able to see who Christ is, is not able to come to him. Why? Because he is blind spiritually. Cannot see the kingdom of God. Now in verse 4, Nicodemus comes back with a question. How? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? How? Well, his question is on a natural plane. He's thinking still about earthly birth and being born from his mother. It's a natural question. And it reveals his condition, that he has no spiritual life. He cannot see because he's spiritually blind. Now then, the Lord Jesus answers again to him in beginning in verse 5, where he said, Most assuredly, I say to you, that which is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now here's a new word. First of all, he cannot see. Now he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here is the necessity. Unless one is born. Verse 7, do not marvel, I say to you, that you must be born from above. Now the word must is very important. It means without exception. It means that it is a necessity. Unless one is born from God, born from above, born again, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, why must we enter the kingdom of God? Because we're outside. And when we're outside, we must enter if we're going in. We must gain an entrance. And this is something we cannot do on our own. We do not have the ability. We are still in our fleshly, natural existence. Now, the word must brings up the necessity. And there are three things about this necessity we must consider. First of all, the necessity to be born again is absolute. There is nothing in between here. You are either natural or spiritual. And there's nothing in between here. This is either or. It is an absolute necessity. Second, it is universal. In that he speaks of no one, no man can see, and no man can enter. Whether king or president or power or rich or poor or whatever condition a human being is in, it is universal. Thirdly, it is unchanging. To this day, the Word of God has not changed. There is no other hope. There is no other salvation. It is an absolute necessity. It is a universal necessity. And it is unchanging. Now, the Lord gives this answer, and he goes on to give an explanation, beginning in verse 8. The wind blows. Well, let's back up to verse 6 for the explanation. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, that is not difficult to understand. It's something we can realize. Flesh is flesh. Human is human. We are human by birth. And we cannot change that. Now, spirit is spirit. That is also by birth. And it is from above. And these are different realms of existence. We come in the flesh, human, natural, and we are not qualified to see or enter the kingdom of God in that condition, so there must be a transfer. We must be taken from one realm to another realm. We must be transferred into the kingdom of God, And that takes place by birth, a spiritual birth, a Holy Spirit birth. And again, it's either or. Either we are in the flesh or we are in the Spirit. And this is his explanation. Now he goes on to give a solution in verse 8. The wind blows where it will or wishes. And you can hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There is the sovereignty of the wind, which humans cannot control. We can't even tell its source beyond human control. Related to that is the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit in the word so. The wind blows where it will, you can't tell where it comes, where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Again, what is it? It is sovereignty. There is no human control. It is not a human renewal. And many people get confused at this point because there is in human life the possibility of a human renewal. And some people can be going along in life and understand that there are things are wrong, that I'm not living right, and there are problems, and I need to change. And by their own achievement and their own effort, they bring about some change. That is not the birth of the Holy Spirit. This is not human renewal. What is this then? This is Holy Spirit birth in our life. We are born again, born from above by him, and this is what takes place. Our condition is that of spiritual death, plainly stated in Ephesians 2 and other passages. Well, what does a dead person need? A dead person needs life. Can that dead person generate life out of himself? No. So the Holy Spirit comes to that person dead in sin, in spiritual death, and resurrects. Every Christian is a person who has been resurrected from spiritual death into spiritual life. And we now have life, and we can see, and we can live, and we have been transferred by this resurrection and life into the kingdom of God and into Christ. And this new spiritual life is eternal. Now we have salvation. Now we have eternal life by the sovereign grace and power of the Holy Spirit who has come to us. And the primary question is not necessarily, have we come to Christ? The primary question is, has he come to us in the power of the Holy Spirit? Now we have faith. How do you know you're one of God's elect? Because you believe. How do you know you've been born again? Because you believe. It is by faith in Christ. And that faith is a necessity. But that faith is the gift. It's a part of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit as He is causing us to be born again. He's creating faith in us, and now we today willingly, lovingly, humbly believe, and we have a new kingdom, and we have a new position. What a glorious thing it is for a Christian to know and understand our new position and live off the strength of that, rather than trying to live by our own effort, our own achievement, our own commitment, which is like a yo-yo, rather than to live off the strength of God's commitment to us in our new position. And this new position is a conquest by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, in resurrection, giving us new life. What does He do? He wins over us. He conquers our stubborn will. He changes our mind. He changes our heart. With power and authority, He does that. Being a Christian is not a victory of so-called free will. It is a conquest where God takes victory over us and brings about our new birth and this change. In John chapter 6, it is recorded that Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me." There's no question about it. When the Holy Spirit moves in on a person, that person will believe. It is effectual grace brought about by the conquering power of God over us. That causes us to be grateful and thankful, because we could not be a Christian on our own. We could not enter the kingdom of God by our will. It is by His will. And this morning, whether we are here or listening to this tape, we believe. We believe in the death and resurrection of Christ, which the Holy Spirit applies to our heart and life. May the Lord God bless us today with faith in our new position. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture, which is so vital about our entrance into the kingdom of God, and about our relationship to You, and about the new position given to us by virtue of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, causing us to be born from above. Help us to live off the strength of this, and to live for Your glory and honor, and to live with love for each other. Bless this passage, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.